Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week, Jose Otero.
What's up?
Jared Petty.
Hi.
Sam Claiborne.
Hey, everybody.
And our road to E3 coverage continues. This week, it's time to talk about Nintendo, everything we know will be there, what won't be there, and what would be pretty cool.
Yeah, maybe what they're deceiving us about what won't be there.
Yes, Ooh. Exactly.
Deception?
I don't know. Zelda's got to be there. Come on.
We'll get to it.
Now, Nintendo kind of does its own thing at E3. It's been doing that for the past few years. It's going to be doing the same thing this year. Instead of holding a live press conference, they release a pre-made video presentation.
It's gotten more entertaining as the years have passed. It used to be really dry.
This is only the third year.
But they still do a booth.
Yeah.
And in that booth, they've been doing more and more. They have like this like live show that they do the whole time. But they do like just all their games are out to play. And it feels like every year you walk into that area and it's like a little bit different from the year before. There's like a lot of continuity to their booth.
Yeah, Nintendo's booth is my favorite place at E3.
It's so cool.
It's just this magical, like, bright land. It's really dense and cramped inside.
Carpets are really clean.
Yeah, but it's also really clean and very nice looking inside. But there's so much to do. I mean, they use their floor space better than almost anybody. And it just feels like going into an amusement park. I'm just like, yay, I'm in happy Nintendo land.
Yep, there's always lines, even if people are, it doesn't seem like there would be. You know, there's always these giant lines for everything. Everybody wants to see what Nintendo has.
So surely one of Nintendo's biggest games this year will be a game that was announced last year, Mario Maker.
Yes, that would
be. That has a release date in September, is that right?
It's a window so far, but they'll probably nail down a date. That game they showed recently in Japan at a Game Center CX, which is a popular like retro game master series over there. They showed a bunch of footage of levels made by different people who work on that show, and it was absolutely like mind-blowing, really cool stuff.
That's a show that was like, it's like 2 decades old now, but it's like about beating really hard levels in games.
Yeah, and
it's
a great show. Some crazy levels, super vertical.
So they designed really hard vertical levels.
Exactly. At one point, Miyamoto came on stage to play those levels and was losing at it. I think that game has a ton of potential, even though every time we see it, it is a game that you see in sort of its 8-bit form. You don't really see it in its new Super Mario Brothers form that often, or even its Super Mario World, like that 16-bit polished look. But despite that, I think because of that, some people are writing it off as, this probably won't be a big deal. I think it's going to be a huge deal. Like, people making their own Mario levels, and it's Nintendo sanctioned, finally?
Yeah, I definitely want to play those levels. I don't think I want to make them at this point, but I can't wait to see the sharing and how we can play other people's levels. And then I want to see Nintendo's, like, internally designed levels, whoever's making them.
Yeah,
I'm really thrilled about this, actually. Ever since consoles got hard drives or persistent memory, I've been excited about the prospect of something like this happening. And Little Big Planet did some neat things for us. There have been other opportunities. But this is really the fruition of an old PC thing. You know, a lot of old PC games used to come with construction kits, especially for these kind of side-scrolling platformers.
Now
we get this wonderful, this property that's so beloved. We have this incredible toolkit. I cannot wait to create things with this. Yeah. That's what I don't care about playing it. I just want to make levels.
Is the physics really that similar across Mario World, Super Mario Brothers, and Mario New Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah.
That, like, they can just instantly switch like they're promising?
I think there are some compromises. I mean, I feel like the look and feel of Mario platforming stays consistent regardless of the game you play.
It must be really consistent. I never thought about it in that way.
No, for sure. But there's definitely them sort of reworking history, because you're seeing things like a Wiggler sprite. Like,
I love that.
Did not exist in the original Super Mario Brothers,
but
it was an enemy that added later.
So cool.
I will say I'm also curious to see if Nintendo jumps in on the opportunity to sort of highlight creations made by either different people working at Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
Or do you remember WarioWare DIY? When that game launched, they had, you know, a minigame made by Yoshio Sakamoto, the Metroid producer. And it was just sort of an all-star roster to an extent, indie developers that were like, hey, here's our WarioWare game. What about doing that with Mario Maker and showcasing just how cool that
is? Shigeru Miyamoto designed Super Mario Brothers level. would be so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would absolutely. That would be major for me. Yeah. I would love to play that.
Yep, and there's still the unanswered questions of just how deep is online, how many levels can you upload, what's the community process of finding that stuff. That's the big question they need to sort of answer at E3.
Now, remind us what Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer is.
Brian Altano likes to call this Animal Crossing House Arrest. But it is a game, a 3DS game, the first one to use Amiibo as cards. And what you are doing in that game is designing homes for the different villagers of Animal Crossing. So, and the interface has been completely redone. You're not, you know, pulling out pieces of furniture to then like carefully rotate them using your avatar. Mm-hmm. You're using everything.
It's been
like,
frustrating
in a much more
to move around furniture.
Yeah, no, everything sort of lifts off the ground. You can do rotations. Looking, we haven't played it, but assuming using the bottom touchscreen of the 3DS. And it looks like all of that stuff just got made over, right? Like the system of actually making houses. But they haven't been clear on how the cards work, what
or
they
if
unlock.
Yeah, if they're
how
like
they're
item cards
them.
Instead of animal or character cards.
Do they come in packs? Am I getting doubles? What happens?
This already happened with Animal Crossing. The e-reader was compatible with Animal Crossing on GameCube via the GBA.
Right.
And you could there was all kinds of tie-in Animal Crossing unlockables through these cards.
Including retro games, right? Wasn't that one way that also
happened? And there are so many ways to unlock the retro games, but I'm pretty sure they were on the collectible cards, too. Yeah.
I'm really glad you brought that up, though, because you know when they tried that connectivity thing back with the GameCube, it was just so cumbersome. They had these neat ideas, but it was very difficult to actually implement. I love to see them finally, after all these years of the Wii U coming up with, and the 3DS, both coming up with ways to use this interface in new and exciting ways to go back to ideas they had, you know, 15 years ago.
That's right.
And finally bring them to fruition. I think this is exciting because
of that. And Animal Crossing is a really good franchise for them. I mean, it's one that is bigger than a hardcore gamer. I don't know if it'll satisfy the hardcore gamer for sure, whatever they show, but it is one of those franchises that, like, the last one sold really well. New Leaf did amazingly well on 3DS.
Love that game.
Yeah,
too.
No.
I want more Animal Crossing, but I kind of want more of everything else in Animal Crossing. Yeah.
Leaf,
I don't think this is going to tide me over, but we'll see.
Yeah, but New Leaf reworked the things that I think people were sort of tired with Animal Crossing, and I think that to some degree, Happy Home Designer is addressing some of that on a different front. But we need to see more. We don't know enough.
Now, forgive my ignorance. Is this a new retail game?
It's not retail. Well, it's downloadable,
but a standalone.
Standalone.
New Animal
it's
Crossing
not going to be
game.
DLC for Animal
yeah,
Crossing.
Yeah, they haven't been clear on if it's downloadable only or if it's going to be retail.
Well, yeah, I actually don't know if this.
Yeah, you can actually get like presumably it'll be a bundle. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to buy sort of a set of Amiibo cards with it, but hopefully at E3 they make that clearer to people.
What you do in Animal Crossing in general is you get judged on like the feng shui of your house and the contents of it. So this seems like a way to just like do. It's making that into a standalone game, like. Mm-hmm. Design a house, and then this game like really cleverly analyzes it for some kind of rewards and points. I think that's what they're going for.
Yeah, so you get those cool trophies for like how you did with your house in New Leaf. We'll see.
What about Fire Emblem?
Fire Emblem If. That's a 2016 game.
It's called that in Japan.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Here it's just still Fire Emblem, and it, like
new
the big
Fire
thing
Emblem
they're changing is they're adding like a separate. They're like it's like Pokemon in which. One weapon is strong against another weapon in that series. And this, they're adding another tier of those weapons. So like now it's a little bit more confusing about what weapons are strong against others. Like they're adding magic and some other stuff. They also said like exactly who's writing it, and it's like a comic book writer from Japan that I didn't know his name. But
But in Japan they've been clearer on the details and the fact that so there are two campaigns. And this actually caused a bit of a stir.
Yeah.
Because there are two campaigns,
and
it turns out if you pick one avenue, you're locked out of the other if you bought it digitally. You have to pay additionally for the other campaign. And it's very unclear if that's still the strategy release here. And there's a potential third campaign that's also a DLC. Fire Emblem Awakening did experiment with DLC, and maybe to some degree it was successful. That was a really good game.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems to be designed around a lot of what made that game really special. But it's still unclear what the rollout plan is, and ultimately if it's going to work here.
Jose, do you think it would have been better received if they'd have gone like the Oracle of Ages, Oracle of Seasons route and just called it two separate games that they released at the same time?
I think in North America, the message should have been clearer. So when it was made clear in Japan, a lot of people got a little shaken up by that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was always sort of pitched here as the next in the Fire Emblem series.
Yeah.
And never really, hey, this is potentially two games, you know? But then again, that leaves it wide open to interpretation. They didn't say it was one game.
Yeah.
But
isn't
regardless.
Isn't it silly that they're making there's like two easy modes?
Mm-hmm.
Because the famous thing about Fire Emblem is that when your characters die, they're permanently dead.
Yeah.
It just means you reset the game a lot.
Depending on your difficulty, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and this, they're making it so there's not only like a resurrection mode, but there's a resurrection on the field mode. So it's like for people that just, it just changes the game so much for me to think about it that way. But there is an absolute focus at Nintendo about we can open up this game to larger audiences if it's easier. And I don't really know how true that is, but they pioneered the in-game kind of child modes where you turn on something and it kind of flies you through it. So
the Super Guide approach is strange, but I think it's still, it might be too soon to tell what impact this is going to have with Fire Emblem as a whole.
Well, you can just ignore it.
But I will say I'm excited for another entry in that series. I like this whole, very feudal Japan, very, very interesting. And so that's genuinely exciting, but it is a 2016 game for 3DS.
We know it's going to be at E3. That's this list?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty safe bet.
But not Fire Emblem Cross.
I don't know as much about that one, or if that one's even been announced for the West.
Fire Emblem and Tensei, that's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, no, so they showed it during Nintendo Direct, I want to say one or two Nintendo Directs ago. I think it was the one before Splatoon.
Yes.
So it is a Western game.
The Fire Emblem Cross.
Shin Megami Tensei, but it's still sort of unclear how those systems work. Like, Jared did a Rewind Theater with Megan, just looking at it at a glance, and it's still hard to decipher what exactly the system
is. It's so vastly different from what we expected. When we heard about a Fire Emblem Shin Megami Tensei game, what we saw was not what we thought was coming. It's obviously a complex RPG. I mean, there's a very neat looking battle system. You can pick out some shades of things from other games, maybe a little bit of Chrono Cross in there, maybe a little Grandia. But how it's going to turn out, we don't know yet.
Yeah, but on the 3DS front, I think Nintendo does have a lot to answer in terms of with new 3DS, I know this is one of your topics, what is the next new 3DS exclusive? Is that something that's finally going to get shown at E3? Right now, the only new 3DS exclusive that exists is an RPG, hardcore JRPG, called Xenoblade Chronicles.
Oh, 3D. What about Fire Emblem? You're not getting it.
That's not a new 3DS exclusive.
Okay,
sorry. As exclusive only. Yeah,
this,
I know.
The this new is 3DS where, system.
Yep, absolutely. It's still very unclear, what will that be? Because right now, you gave people a cool system that, to some degree, is worth the upgrade if you were disappointed with how glasses-free 3D worked before, or that if you want a faster processor, but where are the games to sort of back that up? It's just a strange strategy, and I hope going into E3, they do have another one, so the people who bought this system will feel like, well, cool, this is something I'm only going to get here.
Or for people like me who didn't buy the system because they want the smaller version, then I don't want any of that stuff to be exclusive.
Yeah, it's definitely a strange place to be for them.
They know that, too.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, Amiibo have been a big success, I think, for Nintendo. Surely they'll be making new Amiibo announcements. What do you think, new figures? Maybe a new Amiibo game?
Yeah, I'd be interested in what a new Amiibo... Well, we'll hear about the cards, I think, which can also replace the rare figures. But I think we might hear about lines for maybe individual games going forward, because they have a Splatoon line and a Smash Brothers line, but there could be a Star Fox line. Like, those characters are puppets from the start that look like they're in physical reality. The very first art for Star Fox was these basically look like toy figures. And we know that Thunderbirds is a big inspiration, the old British animatronic show. It was Super Marionation.
Super Marionation.
They'd be a really cool Amiibo figures, and I think Star Fox is going to be a big focus of the E3.
Yeah, Nintendo, since last E3, has gone back and added Amiibo support to most of the games they announced last year. Think about it. Yoshi's Woolly World, Splatoon.
That is a great tie-in Amiibo.
Like you said,
I forgot about those. Woolly World Amiibo are little yarn Yoshis.
Because of that, I do think the Amiibo experimentation will continue, either as cards or as, for example, the Woolly Amiibo is kind of an interesting take, something that's plush, something that's different. It's not just a hard figure like a Skylander. I think they're going to continue to experiment with that. I mean, we still don't know what Mario Maker does with Amiibo.
Yeah.
And presumably it would work with the Mario series, but then are there going to be more of them? Is there a Wave 2? And it's making them a lot of money, over 10 million sold as of their last sort of earnings.
Most of them scalped.
Yes, I have nothing to say. That's probably absolutely true.
There's a big black market for Amiibo if you're not involved.
I'm not involved.
Cannot buy them on store shelves or pre-order.
Yeah, no, but that's a smart bet. Star Fox absolutely will have Amiibo. Zelda, presumably, whenever they feel like talking about that game again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Speaking of some of these other games, certainly Yoshi's Woolly World will be shown.
It should be out.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be out in the UK at the end of June. How crazy is that?
Does it have a release date for the for US?
Just a window. I believe it's like fall/holiday.
What? It was. They're making us wait that long?
They're making us wait.
Quarter two. And now it's been moved back.
So. Yes. I'm so looking forward to that game. I cannot wait to play it. I played through Epic.
We played it at two E3s now, or just one? Has it just been one?
I know it was at last year's.
Last year.
Yeah, it was probably at last year's too.
It's absolutely like better level design than the DS.
Yeah, a lot of people. Were disappointed with that game. I will say we've been waiting for a Yoshi's Island successor to the SNES game, one that lives up to like just how good that game was for a very long time.
GameCube was kind of disappointing, but what was that one called? Yoshi's.
You're thinking of Yoshi's Story for the N64.
Oh, I'm sorry. Baby voices all over the place.
But you have the convergence here of two things. I love. You got Yoshi's Island on one end, which is one of the best designed Nintendo games ever.
That's right.
And then you have Kirby's Epic Yarn, which is one of the cutest things I've ever played. Mm-hmm. And I had a ball with playing alongside my wife. We played that together through and just had a wonderful time. It's a good cooperative game, and I always love a good cooperative game. So those things meeting, I just can't wait.
Yeah.
What about Xenoblade Chronicles X?
That game's out in Japan, and there's a ton of footage out there for it, but no one is, they haven't really shown it in English, even when we saw it at Nintendo a couple weeks ago, and even when they had Treehouse Live where they were showing that game, it was all the Japanese build, so I think it'll be part of their focus. I mean, it's still billed as a 2015 game for the West. Yeah. I don't see that slipping.
They brought it on our live show last year.
That's right, so.
So you've been playing it.
I have, and it is high quality, I will say. There's definitely...
I love how the open world looks.
Yes.
It's is it pretty open?
Yes, no, you can just wander into the second and third continents, like right from the get-go, if you can make it, because you have to run by so many enemies that...
I love that
stuff. Some of them can spot you and just rip you apart.
It's very Dragon Quest VIII.
Yeah, it's super deep. You can spend a ton of hours like completing side quests and finding missions and things to do. And once you get the robots, it transforms even more. Mm-hmm. I will say, running around in that game kind of captures the feeling of Crackdown to me, which was just a game that was really fun to run around in. It's not an action game by any stretch of the imagination, but one where with that much open space and just having the room to run, it is fun to move around. And once you get the Skells, the robots, that just changes it up even more. Because now you've got a cool thing to run around in.
Yeah.
And you're saying the cutscenes are a little corny, but...
It's still difficult to say how the story is going to pan out, especially when you compare it to Xenoblade Chronicles.
Are the cutscenes not in Japanese?
No, cutscenes are in Japanese, but a lot of that game's story revolves around the people around you and less about you. Mm. And I know for some people that they don't know how to take that. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll depend on if the story can carry that or not. Think about it. Chrono Trigger was a game like that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And it absolutely delivers.
Dragon Quest V, same way.
Yeah, so I think it's going to... It depends on localization. It depends on just how good that story is.
Am I going to... You have this import edition right now. Mm-hmm. How am I going to regret that I am terrible at kanji if I try to play this?
Let's find out. Ask me. Yeah, right, cool. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll check that out.
Yeah.
Are we going to see Star Fox?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This is a big deal.
Star Fox was like four of the games at E3 last year. They showed these little... they showed these little demos, and we got this cryptic... announcement that they were all going to be part of Star Fox, and then there was the Star Fox main game, which Jose played.
Yeah, well, they never really outright said that, right? They said there were sort of Miyamoto experiments. No, but they were like Miyamoto experimental games that... I know in one of them, for example, like the cameras, the one that's called Project Guard, where you're using cameras to sort of like spot and neutralize threats. That one has like a Star Fox logo somewhere in it.
No, I know. I think... But you don't think those are going to be incorporated to the game?
I'm not sure.
I have a feeling that Star Fox is going to be a package with like a big game and then like a bunch of little mini games like that. Because I think they want to show off the gamepad in a lot of different ways. And one of the ways is a really hard to play way, it sounds like, where you're controlling with motion and the two analog sticks.
Sure, like a Kirby Superstar kind of thing, where you've got like...
Can you
kind
explain
of a main
how
game?
It was controlled? Yeah, it's kind of strange.
Yeah, for sure. No, you're using the gamepad and a lot of the tilt functions to do certain things. For example, in Project Giant Robot, you were using the gamepad to extend your arms using buttons and then swing using the gamepad to knock things over.
But in the main Star Fox game, though, weren't you?
Oh, you're talking about main Star Fox, sorry.
You're flying by moving...
You're flying by using sticks, but you're aiming by using the gamepad, which is a take-it-or-leave-it thing. You can still switch that stuff off. But I will say that if the plan from the beginning was to wrap those three into Star Fox, I think that would be a mistake on Nintendo's part.
Really?
Only because they pitched it as, oh, these are separate things that are getting worked on, right?
Okay.
Like, if the intent behind the scenes was that, I just feel that's a little disingenuous. Maybe Project Guard excuse me, does have a chance to be a part of Star Fox, but I'm not convinced Project Giant Robot is yet. Mm-hmm. But I think that's still a cool idea in the long run, right? Like, I think if they did end up as part of one entire game, fine. But this is the first, like, Miyamoto produced, directed, whatever, however you want to look at it, Star Fox in a long time, right? Like, what was the last good Star Fox game?
The last good, probably 64.
No yeah. way. Super Nintendo.
The Super Nintendo one is the best. I'm with you, but the 64 one is good as well. I think. Well, but I've been excited ever since.
Let's run down all the Star Foxes. Okay. Star Fox on Super Nintendo, the original. Right. Yeah. And then Star Fox 64.
That's right.
64. Then Star Fox Adventures.
Oh, yeah. That's made by Rare.
And that's where the rage comes out, because ever since I saw Prince Tricky and threw down my controller and stomped away on Dinosaur Planet.
That's funny.
But then was there another?
Star Fox Assault made by Namco. That was the team DS. That was on GameCube. Star Fox Assault was on GameCube.
Yeah.
It was made by the team behind Ace Combat for the most part.
It was a rail shooter.
And that was the one that had the on-ground segments that no one really liked. They had vehicle sections and whatnot.
And you were really stuck in space. You were on a rail.
Right. Yeah. But it wasn't the cool on-rail stuff that Star Fox 64 was really good at.
It was more constrictive than 64. Yeah. Which is and very short.
You also had what was the one you steered
Star Fox
with?
Command. Yeah, that was the last one. And then 64 3D is a remake. So there's
been five main games. This will be the sixth one.
Yeah, this will be the sixth. With Miyamoto sort of looking over it, I think that alone is interesting. Mm-hmm. My big fear, though, is that Star Fox is not a huge franchise. It's not one of their biggest franchises.
Yeah, it's hard to make the focus of an E3 about Star Fox.
It is, and especially when you've already been clear that Zelda won't be there.
That's such a silly thing to announce.
Talk about that.
Just let us be disappointed about that when it happens.
In terms of scope and interest, I agree. It may not be as all-encompassing as we'd hope from a bigger title like Zelda, but personally, I think Star Fox, even though it was never released as an arcade game, might be Nintendo's best arcade game.
Yeah,
and I really want to play something like that again.
No, I completely agree with you. I'm just curious to see if that's their November game. Nintendo brings the business in November, right? Like last year, it was Super Smash Brothers for Wii U. The year before that, it was Super Mario 3D World. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the big November game? And if it is Star Fox, I hope what they show is absolutely indicative of why, instead of us just looking at it going, well, this just looks like Star Fox, which it's unfair to say either way right now.
Now, what is Yo-Kai Watch?
What is it? It's a ghost catching game, kind of like Pokemon.
To a degree.
3DS.
Yes, for 3DS. Big hit in Japan, like the last major phenomenon over there, like on a Pokemon scale.
Yeah, what's this developer?
Level 5.
This is level 5.
Layton guys, right?
Right. Layton guys, White Knight Chronicles,
Like their work.
Yeah, it's their stuff can be, it can be hit or miss, right? White Knight Chronicles, you don't meet too many people who are like
experiencing. What's their like soccer RPG?
Oh, you're talking about Inazuma 11.
Yeah, winning 11, right?
Nintendo
is publishing Yo-Kai Watch in the United States, so they're putting their marketing and all their stuff behind it. Mm-hmm. And it's been just a level 5 game in Japan, but it's interesting that we're going to probably see that as part of Nintendo's big offerings.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Like in Japan, has made a lot of money, not just as a video manga, game, but as a show, as a manga, as a toy. People lined up for hours to get a fake tablet that will read your yokai medals. Yokai medal collecting is a big deal in Japan. Like, it's got the hooks of a Pokemon game behind it.
Yeah.
The big hanging question for at least everyone waiting on what the American version will look like is, how did localization approach this material? Like, with Pokemon, they really hit it. They got it absolutely right. It was a game about collecting, but also they managed to make the world feel interesting, even though over time with successive Pokemon games, it's kind of been more of the same. Mm. I think Yo-Kai Watch, if done right, localization-wise, could be huge.
Had enough time.
But
2013 is when that game came out.
Yeah.
When you look at the screens for Yo-Kai Watch, it is a very Japanese world. I mean, it's a world of shrines and a world of Japanese street corners, and finding a way to translate that reality into something kids ever going to hear.
New Sakura or something.
I don't know the name of the town.
That's what it's called.
Is it New Sakura?
It's something like that. Like, it's very, very Japan focused. But also, so is insect hunting. I mean, that's where that all comes from.
Right.
It's like, it's very popular for kids to go out and catch beetles and do that in real life. And this is about a kid that goes out catching beetles, but he finds a gachapon, I think, machine. Or no, it's just like a bubble toy machine. Mm-hmm. Like, everything in it is like, how is this going to work in localization? But it could just be a cool fantasy game.
It's very merchandise heavy, but as long as it embraces Pear, our GM, who constantly talks about how localization should sort of embrace what's unique about Japanese and not treat its audience like idiots say, hey, that's not, sushi, that's something else.
Yeah.
I think that at the end of the day, he's right on that front, right? Like, embrace what's special about that world and make it cool and interesting, and kids will jump on that. Yeah. You know, Pikachu sounds like the most Japanese thing ever, but it worked.
No, it absolutely works. Right? Nintendo or Japan being cool, that's what I grew up in, and they didn't try to hide it after a while. At first they did because of the economic menospheres, but eventually, you know, all of Kingdom embraced the idea that the land of the ninja, the land of Mario, this is an amazing place. I also love the rich, beautiful color in this game. It almost looks like the summer vacation game. Yeah. It's just that wonderful palette to it. And I don't think they have anything to hide. They'll find a way. Yeah. It's Nintendo. They're not going to screw up.
Is there something augmented reality with that series?
No.
In the game, it looks like you're doing that, but because you're actually looking around a scene.
You're trying
to
find the yokai. Yeah, so yokai are these mischievous spirits who, like, if you know the set wasn't working one day, there's a yokai responsible for that. And so you're the kid sort of using this watch and and your ghost to sort of battle these spirits and make them go away. Although they're not spirits, they have some strange, like, definition of what a yokai is.
They're kind of like an apparition. Like
Finally, do we think Smash Brothers and Splatoon DLC is a safe bet?
Nintendo has already stepped out in front with Splatoon, right, and been very clear that they're going to keep supporting that game with content updates. I think if they truly do continue to go past August, they make that announcement at E3, sort of saying, hey, here's some other stuff.
That's when the actual rooms are getting, or what are they called?
Custom games, party matchmaking would be in effect.
Yeah.
So once sort of all that content is in there, it'll be curious to see if they do believe in this franchise enough to keep pushing it. Yeah. Do they make that announcement at E3? I think with Smash Brothers, they might absolutely make that announcement too. Smash Brothers is a big tentpole. Maybe stages, maybe more characters.
Yeah, they
did have the
characters?
Ballot. Yeah, they did
what
put out that
the
ballot.
What about the Amiibos,
asking.
I don't have any room.
Yeah, Smash Brothers has like, what, 50 plus characters almost right now?
Yeah.
But that said, Smash Brothers, they've been kind of slow to embrace DLC for Smash Brothers. Like, Mewtwo just happened in April. There was that Miiverse stage that they talked about when Smash was coming out in the 50 facts about Smash you didn't know, but that Miiverse stage still hasn't come out. It has to make you wonder if they have other stages and packages coming along the way.
Yeah.
I know with one of their last investors meetings, they did say that the DLC on Mario Kart 8 was a big success for them.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's,
drove
that
a lot
could
of
be
interest.
Another thing that they bring.
Yeah, there was sort of high... It drove a lot of interest in those games, and ultimately Mario Kart 8 turned out really well, even though we ended up waiting a really long stretch for those two DLC packs.
They're so cool, though, and it'd be great. You can change Mario Kart so much by adding just more levels and more characters, and mainly more levels. And more stages is the most important thing for that, and I love that. But 200cc was a really good idea.
Yeah.
Yep,
Will we get 250?
I hope not.
Now, unfortunately, the one game that people want to see the most... Nintendo has said, will not be there.
Yeah, it's been a punch to the gut ever since the fateful day that announcement got made.
I don't want to talk about this. Can we move on?
No. They
said the team doesn't want to show Zelda. We're going to skip E3 showing Zelda E3. Like, the way it was worded was that, like, maybe it means that, and it was a tweet too, which is strange for me in a way. Yeah. But maybe it means that they will have a trailer. And they'll talk about it.
I think making a statement like that means it's not there at all.
Not a trailer.
Like, I think they're going to stand by that. They could surprise us with that. I'm not saying they won't.
What about that Wednesday surprise?
I would love it if Iwata or Reggie, well, Iwata won't be there, but Reggie during the video says, and we have one more thing. Mm-hmm. And it is Zelda, but I have a funny feeling that when you make a statement that way, you are saying, don't get your hopes up, Junior, because this is not going to be there.
Why? Why would they do this? It's so important to have Zelda there. Maybe it'll be a 3DS Zelda. Maybe it'll be a 3DS Metroid.
Yeah, and it's especially
but I don't know why they wouldn't
after how much confidence they had.
Oh, like, I know. That's
and the messaging
thing.
Behind
they
it, right?
They showed it in December.
Yeah, they showed it in December. This is going to be out right after around Star Fox.
Yeah.
This is still a 2015 game.
Yep.
But they
gave the order that games were coming out, and this was before Star Fox.
Yeah, but an open world really needs to bring something unique to Zelda, and
we all agree
and understand that if Zelda needs more time, it needs more time. Like, we don't want an unfinished Zelda, or we don't want a Zelda sort of hackneyed around the open world concept. We would be disappointed, but at the same time, it not being there at all is such a blow. But I would argue last E3, Nintendo, I mean, this doesn't completely, you know, take away the unfortunate aspect of, Zelda won't be there, but Nintendo will pull the trigger on unannounced games at E3, right? Mm-hmm. They've done it before. Last year, they showed Splatoon for the first time. They showed Codename Steam for the first time. Obviously, one of those had a lot of fan art attached to it and a lot of support, and one, you know, sort of fell to the wayside, sadly, but it was a deep game.
Yeah.
The year before that, Super Mario 3D World just materialized at E3 and was out by November. Mm-hmm. I think that they're going to pull that again. But the question is, will whatever franchise they pull the trigger on mm-hmm. fill that gap? Mm. And we don't know yet.
Man. It could be another 2 years or something to Zelda. It's so hard to tell when they don't show a game. Mm. And they said in the same statement, like, we want to make sure that that we're not focusing on a release date, but we're focusing on this open world, which we think is going to be better than ever. Like, I love that. I want them to take their time, but, like, what if NX is out? And, like, what if, you know,
that's
what
I wanted to
happen?
Say. Maybe it will end up being an NX game, mm-hmm. a console Nintendo's also supposedly not talking about.
Sort of another Twilight Princess situation, yeah. where it just goes out to the very end of the cycle and ends up in the next console. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it really depends. That really depends on how closely NX's framework is tied to like a Wii U.
That makes
in
sense.
In terms of power, in terms of ability. And I also think that is also based on how far along were they before mm-hmm. they decided to say, okay, we need to spend more time on this.
That makes sense because the architecture is going to be vital for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they have been clear that NX as a platform, they're not saying a thing at E3. Mm-hmm. And so this puts them in a weird position at E3 because the code name for the next thing is out in the wild. Wii U is still sort of what it is, which is not a huge success for them, but Amiibo seems to be helping them. Mm-hmm. 3DS is selling better than its dedicated gaming handheld competitor, but it's still not anything compared to smartphones and that gaming market there.
The DS, right?
Yeah.
There'll be no smartphone stuff either. So with no NX and smartphone news at E3, it would be really a good idea to have Zelda there so everybody could focus their questions on that and really, but instead, like, it's going to be very confusing what Nintendo, we're still going to ask them about the NX and about, you know, I mean, even if we get deflected, I want to know all about smartphone games and the NX. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of interviews that we're going to be doing. I don't see how they're going to deflect us for all that stuff.
Yeah. No, but it is a bummer. It's interesting to see how they plan to drive Wii U momentum, 3DS momentum, while this code name hangs in the air. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think they can if they pull the trigger on the right thing, but who knows what that thing is right now. Like, they pull a Mario game that looks that good at E3, we would all lose it, right? If they pull Metroid, to some degree.
Yeah, what could fill the void of Zelda? If they were like, well, here's Super Mario Galaxy 3.
Yeah, exactly.
That would do it.
Yeah, that would probably do it for me. We also don't expect to hear anything about their quality of life initiative.
And it shouldn't be at E3. I don't think that stuff really needs to be there. E3 is more about video games.
They had the finger clip.
The vitality sensor.
They had the vitality sensor, and they did focus part of their presentation during the Wii era on Wii Fit. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like quality of life doesn't sound like...
Why is that still the code name for that? I mean, isn't it just what? Like, we know what it is now.
Quality of life?
Yeah, it's like this sleep system to monitor your sleep, and it ties into an app. And
it seems to be a bunch of things. I'm not sure if it's that.
Like the vitality sensor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's still unclear. Like, yeah, they've talked about one device, but it's still unclear
so
what their strategy is in that market.
Of devices that are like that?
Yeah, but think about it. Do you want to go to E3 to play games, or do you want to go to E3 to see a device that's going to monitor your sleep?
Nintendo had a guy playing fake drums on a Wii U.
Robbie Drums.
The pad on the ground.
Yeah. But maybe
fitness pad.
Maybe they've learned something. I mean, that's the other thing. You remember the response to the vitality sensor. If it hadn't been for Other M ending that press conference,
no, I think
it
would have been a
disaster. You know,
they've learned their lesson.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Other M and Metroid, what would be a few things that we think would be awesome if Nintendo showed? We already mentioned Super Mario Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
New Metroid?
Yeah, Metroid, Dread, whatever. A 2D Metroid would make me explode.
You're going to say Axiom Verge.
Axiom Verge, yeah. It almost came out, and I was like, no!
No, it's good.
I don't think that genre of exploratory platformers played out. I think that Nintendo, I trust them more than anybody to find new things to do with old ideas.
I'd rather have a Castlevania on 3DS than that.
Oh, wow.
A nice 2D sprite-based Castlevania. It's time for those to return.
That would also be
returning
lovely.
In the form Metroid, of a Kickstarter of a new game.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, too, though, that Metroid, when Metroid resurfaces, I'm really curious to see how they approach it, because it feels like there are a lot of Kickstarters devoted around Super Metroid style games.
I think that void's been filled.
Yeah, and I feel like that void is overflowing at the moment, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's not Metroid. So how does Nintendo gracefully return to the Metroid concept? Mm-hmm. And not just that, but improve on it. Last year at E3, Miyamoto did mention something about 3DS or just a portable or 2D or 3D. He was very unclear, but that Metroid was something that they were looking at. Mm-hmm. Does that show up at this E3? That would be great. If it was both again, like Metroid Prime and Metroid Fusion, sort of a look at 3D, a look at 2D. Not exactly those same games, because I do think Metroid Prime ran its course. I think they're done with the Prime games the way they were.
Yeah. If they could make them look even more beautiful than they ever have before, I would still play a Metroid Prime game. I'd love to play a new Metroid Prime game. Mm-hmm. I love that series so much. It's one of my favorite series. I think there's smaller games that I'd like to see them revisit. And I hate talking about revisiting games because I want to see original stuff. But I really want to see a WarioWare. It's been so long. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why the Wii U only had Game & Wario and not like some just insane party game. Everybody sits in the room, hands the controller around, and plays it. I mean, I love NES Remix. Mm-hmm. And I want to see that partified.
What about SNES Remix?
I know.
Cool. And we talked about this too.
N64 Remix?
Yeah, it'd be so cool. Like,
could they use like Banjo and stuff in like Perfect Dark?
I don't know.
That would be harder to do, though, right? When you think about disassembling 3D games to put them into sort of a collection.
I know.
That could
be
quite a chance.
I'd love to see what that looks like, though. Where you just be like Ocarina of Time, like bush cutting or something. It'd be so funny.
Virtual Boy Remix, right?
There we go. That'd be great.
But it's all six games.
Mario Flash.
But imagine, so you and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I'm curious what the next Maker game is, right? Yeah. Is there a world where Zelda Maker, a game where you are going to make Zelda dungeons, a possibility based on the success, if Mario Maker is in fact successful, which I feel like the reception, at least every time they show footage of it, is we get excited, we're happy about it. Mm-hmm. It taps into that culture you were talking about, the old PC games, or the fact that people do like to make things and play sort of unique creations.
Well, I'm glad you said that. People have been making Zelda levels since the 1990s in these little construction kits that create 8-bit representation or fake 8-bit representations of Zelda levels. So I think that if Nintendo were to take this and put their wonderful polish on it and create their version of it, the in-house official way to do this, I think it'd be tremendous.
Yeah,
success.
And I don't think you're making like Zelda overworlds in this thing. I don't think it goes that far, but I do think a game focused around making dungeons in Zelda could be very cool, and it could sort of explore the same Maker concept in a different genre.
Yeah. Oh, I think you could pull off a screen by screen overworld if you used one of the screen by screen scrollers.
Yeah, where you're creating.
I think you could probably pull it off in that format.
Yeah, but think about the focus of like the game design itself, right? Like in a dungeon, you have a specific objective. In an overworld, what would you really be doing? Like that's the only thing that I would say might be too much to ask for.
Yeah, you'd have to set Triforce triggers. And it would be much more complicated than a Mario Maker game. It would be a lot to get your head around, right? Also, dungeons are a much more completable project, so I agree.
But I do think as cool as it would be to see like a Donkey Kong Maker or a Metroid Maker, those are so close to platforming that it wouldn't, to me, that wouldn't feel that original, right? Like I want to see this concept applied to something else because it's a concept that works so well on the gamepad. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that's been their mission since last E3, right? Prove why this thing is important to have as part of the console experience on Wii U. So we'll see if that is, in fact, something that they do. Super Nintendo Remix and like the next Maker game would be really cool.
Pokemon RPG. Huge Pokemon RPG on Wii U. I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen. That's not their strategy.
A Pokemon console
game. Don't get excited.
Yeah.
But yeah, just a big Pokemon console game. That would save the Wii U.
And it's unfortunate, too, that they haven't explored that possibility because Pokemon, as a portable game, more and more is relying on online in unique ways to make up for the fact that you and I don't need a link cable or that we're going to be in different places.
Yeah.
So why not embrace that on a console?
But
Nintendo doesn't really make that call. That's still a Pokemon company call. And ultimately, those guys, when the last Pokemon game still sells a couple million, really good numbers, do you really change that formula?
Will we hear about the next Pokemon game at E3?
They haven't announced one yet. I know last year they pulled the trigger on what was it, Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, the day that they reported really weak financials for the fiscal year. This year they had pretty decent financials to post, so there was no announcement tied to that. It almost felt like a smokescreen, like, hey, there's a fire over there, but look at this Pokemon game.
But they have to have one for the fall, right?
Pokemon has been on an annual schedule for the past couple years now. Yeah. And so if they do decide to skip a year, I think it would be wise to, but if they don't,
A
console game, I think, would be something that everyone's been asking for.
About the, you were talking earlier about the possibility of other titles to justify the purchase of the new 3DS.
Yeah.
Is Nintendo going to take a high-profile title, something like Pokemon or Metroid or something like that, would they be willing to make it exclusive to that system, knowing that their install base is so much smaller there, or would they do it to try to build that install base? Do you think they'd be willing to do that with one of these new titles we're talking about?
That's such a risky move. I mean, think about it. You have almost 50 million 3DSs in the world. Do you tell that audience, nope, you can only get it on this other device. Like that would not make a lot of sense.
Consoles are made to sell video games, not vice versa, right? Yeah. So why make a video game to sell a console? Yeah,
if the enhanced features on new 3DS or something
that's... Unless it's a Pokemon RPG, then I take it all back.
Yeah, that's above or something that people feel will justify that, then maybe that's a smarter move. But that was the thing we asked the minute new 3DS got announced, right? Like, when is it going to be a Mario game? When is it going to be like something else that we really, really care about? And to this day, they haven't really said, well, what's the next new 3DS exclusive?
Yeah. So
I don't think that would make
a
lot of sense.
One other thing I can see coming back as a Punch-Out game. I think it's been a long time since we've seen a Punch-Out.
I love Punch-Out. I'd like it to be a 3DS game.
Yeah.
I'd rather play that.
A really hardcore Punch-Out game to break down over weeks or months, you know, by just playing for 15 minutes on the train every day. I would love that.
Yeah, Next Level is probably working on something for Nintendo right now. I mean, that studio has said, they have said that they are working with Nintendo, you know, on projects. I think they made that announcement like a year ago. Like, they just, they will continue to work with Nintendo, but nothing has been shown.
I should just go ahead and mention every other franchise that Nintendo's ever made, so then I get this right when we double check predictions after E3. Kid Icarus also.
Laundry list.
Join Mecha Fight for life.
Yeah, Tokyo Gene EAD, Roman, which is Nintendo's like most talented studio, you can argue. These are the guys who make the, for example, they made 3D World. Mm-hmm. They make the Mario series, games like that. They moved on to the next project after 3D World shipped on Wii U. What? Like, that was November last year. In January, they were saying, okay, we moved on to our next thing, but won't say a platform. Maybe that game shows up. Mm-hmm. EAD is such a talented studio. Mm-hmm. Full of really smart creators. I would love to see if it was something new and original. That would be really nice too. I think the coolest thing about Splatoon is that it was awesome to see Nintendo try their hand at new characters, a new universe, and build something
we were
up
talking
around
about
it.
This. I think that's really important. I think since Pikmin, there's been very few like large console games like that that have just been brand new for Nintendo. I want to see that, but of course, for me, I want to see it for a single player game.
Yeah,
I like Splatoon single player.
Yeah,
I'd love to see the response to change since last year in terms of what I see in comments and message boards and things like that. Where when people kind of looked at Splatoon a year ago with befuddlement, didn't seem to know what to do with it, and now to see the enthusiasm that's built around this, I think that Nintendo may look at that and say, "Well, worth trying again." I hope so.
Okay, before we go today, we're going to play a little game.
Ready? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What's Damon doing?
Scooch over, Jordan.
What's going on?
So I'm going to try to make this as friendly as possible for our podcast listeners.
Wow.
We're looking at here is a list of 10 popular Nintendo characters in alphabetical order. This is Bowser, Donkey Kong, Link, Luigi, Mario, Pikachu, Princess Peach, Samus, Star Fox, and Zelda. Now, I want to know if you guys are able to rank these in order of popularity.
I can go for two in that sense.
I've sorted this out. I know the lists. I got the data from Google Trends.
So you already know, Jose, which order Mario and Pikachu are in? Because that's the most confusing for me.
That's the hardest one for me.
So this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, I'm going with Mario, then Pikachu.
Yeah, I'm going to put Mario over Pikachu. Although, I don't know, do not underestimate the power of Pokemon. Yeah. Mario over Pikachu. Let's roll with it.
All right, so you all agree Mario is going to go up to the top?
Yeah, let's do
The problem is,
I feel like Pikachu's going to be at the top.
I think
so. We got Mario in the number one spot.
Yeah. You think Pikachu's going to be at the top?
I think he might. Huge. Yeah, Pokemon is really big.
But Pikachu's never even at the top of our Pokemon face-offs when we have them.
No. The audience has turned on it to a degree, but I do think that Pokemon's so big. Okay, but those two at the top.
So there's an interesting thing with Link in Zelda, is that Zelda is a search term for the game series. Mm. Yeah. So I think it might actually capture more search in just the way he's doing it.
That's really smart.
I think Zelda is going to be right after.
All right, Zelda 3, please.
So hand me Zelda.
All right, hand you Zelda for your...
Move up Donkey Kong board. Out of the way.
I'll hold
here.
Donkey Kong for you. We'll just keep him on the side.
Currently, they've ranked it Mario number one, Zelda number two.
Yeah.
Wow. Pikachu.
Pikachu's two.
All right, so he's two, three.
So it's going this way.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Just guys, one, two.
Sorry.
You think Pikachu's number two?
Pikachu's number two. Zelda is definitely three.
And Zelda three.
Yeah.
I misunderstood. I was counting down.
I'm okay with that.
Wait, you think Pikachu should be first?
No.
I think Zelda
should
be
above
Pikachu.
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
All right.
Do you think Zelda's above Pikachu? I don't know.
Those are all going to be super close.
This is hard.
All right. Let's see.
Give me Link for 500.
After Zelda?
Yeah, after Zelda, I'm going to put Link.
But what about the year of Luigi?
That's next. Luigi's next. I would put Luigi next after Link. Unless you guys disagree.
I think people might look up Princess Peach for images and costumes and stuff a lot more than Luigi.
Oh, that's hard.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, that does make sense. And maybe, wow. Yeah, I like Princess Peach more than I like Luigi.
Okay, swap them. Let's do it.
Princess Peach goes.
Luigi's Mansion did occur. Maybe Princess Peach is next after Luigi. I'm fine with that.
You sure?
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm all right with that, too.
Wait, what was the Peach, Princess Peach DS
Super
game?
Super Princess Peach
happened. That's a thing.
That was a strange video game.
That's not.
All right, what comes after Princess Peach?
I think Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong, Star Fox, and Samus who do you at the bottom.
Samus over Star Fox, I think. And Samus maybe over Donkey Kong?
I don't know. There's so many dual barrel memes.
What's the most popular Smash Brothers character?
Captain Falcon.
I think Samus is one of the more popular ones.
Pac-Man's popular right now.
Okay. I don't know. I'd just leave that list where it is.
Leave it where it is. Okay, so then
you like this? You think Donkey Kong's at the bottom?
Yeah.
Donkey Kong was a big hit, a big Nintendo hit. It almost makes you wonder. Like, I would put Donkey Kong a little higher. I'd swap Donkey Kong and Bowser. I think Bowser is less of a known entity in the world.
Yeah. I trust the Nintendo.
Don't say that. Now I'm going to be really wrong. Can we swap?
Bowser's hard.
What are you putting up there?
I'm going to put Bowser at the bottom. I'm going to put DK after Princess Peach. So just to read the order of the list to people who are listening to the audio version.
In order of popularity,
we have guessed, unless anyone here disagrees, Mario, number one, Pikachu, number two, Zelda, number three, Link, number four, Luigi, number five, six is Princess Peach, seven is Donkey Kong, eight is Samus, nine is Star Fox, and 10 is Bowser.
All right. Yeah. Final answer?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Zelda might be over.
I just tried to look at Damon's facial expressions when we played these games.
You did it smart. I couldn't
keep it. No, I didn't actually. I thought about doing it.
Okay, so the actual list is number one, Mario.
Yay!
Number two, Zelda.
I was right.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number three.
We had it right.
Pikachu.
Okay, so we hit this one.
Nice. I'm glad we did that.
Number four is Luigi.
Therein lies the flaw, as we were already saying, for searching. Zelda was high, but not because of Zelda the character, because of the game.
And maybe because of the Luigi Death Stare.
Right.
But after Luigi number five, can you hand me Donkey Kong?
What?
Whoa! Wow.
Okay, that makes sense. Wow.
Is that because of pixels?
I'm sure.
Stop it.
Stop it. Link goes up there, number six.
Okay. So Princess Peach gets bumped. Hacha. Yeah.
And right after Link is Bowser.
Bowser?
What? Okay, so we were wrong. I can't wait to see who's last.
Then it's Princess Peach.
Okay. This is not looking good.
That's because people don't know Samus's name. They know Metroid.
Yeah.
Samus is next.
Then Samus, and then poor Star Fox.
Slippy
Toad. Slippy Toad.
Yeah, so this is the actual list. In more order of descending popularity, Mario, Zelda, Pikachu, Luigi, Donkey Kong, Link, Bowser, Princess Peach, Samus, and Star Fox.
I'm speechless.
Yeah.
No, we did good, guys. We did pretty darn good.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
We got number one.
Yeah.
And by the way, Mario is so far ahead of everybody. There's no comparison between Mario and every. This Mario is in a league of its own in terms of popularity.
If Pikachu wasn't competing with like 600 other Pokemon, then we'd have a chance.
That might be true.
It's got to be it.
All right.
Fun game.
Yeah, I like this game.
Good job.
That wraps up our big Nintendo E3 2015 preview. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. Thank you, Jose. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Damon.
Thanks for having us.
This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nail, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season 1 was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to Season 1, we are thrilled to announce the launch of Season 2. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make Season 2 even more memorable together.